Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Commercial Property Investor Podcast, where it's my job to introduce you to people from the world of commercial property. We're talking with investors and thought leaders about their experiences of the commercial property world and sharing our own lessons from the last 20 years to give you practical know-how so that you can follow in their footsteps. If you've ever thought commercial could be your next step, but it just seems too confusing and opaque, then you've come to the right place. There are so many exciting opportunities in this dynamic sector, and I'm looking forward to pulling back the curtain and sharing them with you. Welcome to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast, and I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. This show is all about commercial property investing for the private investor. Whether you're just getting started or scaling up your portfolio, through interviews, tips and lessons learned along the way, we want to give you the inspiration, knowledge and confidence to enjoy this great cash flowing strategy. Hi, welcome back. I want to talk to you about EV charge points today. That's electric vehicle charge points. We've had some installed very recently and I want to share our experiences with you. Now, I know some of you may already have these in, but for those of you that are looking at this, I know where you're at. It's a bit of a minefield. You're looking in and there's so many different variables in this thing. When we first started looking at this, questions we had were, how much is it going to cost? Do they need to be superchargers? Do they ever need to be superchargers? Or can they be more trickle chargers? Who are the installers? What about grants? What about the financial model? Who pays who in this thing? And where is best to put them? There was lots of questions, so I'm going to go through some of that today and share our experience. I'm not an expert, but hopefully what we've experienced will help give you a bit of a thought as to what you can do if you're looking at installing them in your own site. But first, I want to briefly talk to you about our Commercial Property Mastermind and Accountability Program, which I would have mentioned once or twice before. It's been running over the last few years very successfully. Many investors who've been on the program have successfully invested in commercial, often for the first time, which is great. It's really exciting and satisfying helping people move from resi into that kind of murky world of commercial. I've really enjoyed it. But it is a big time and resource commitment for me, so this next intake will be the last. In other words, if you've been sitting on the fence about getting into commercial or indeed joining us on our Mastermind program, this is your last chance. Now, let me clarify. It has been amazing, and this will be our best ever. But the time constraints have meant that this will be our last. Getting started in Commercial Property Mastermind and Accountability program. Now, the program was designed to help you learn how to navigate the commercial world and to find and purchase that first investment property, maybe even a second, and then create the best possible space and offer that you can through helping you things like design as well as just the purchase. There's design, fit out, and the tech side. We keep in touch through direct messaging service. We have a few events online and offline every month. And there's even a one-to-one with myself at the start of the program. So if you're thinking about this, it's worth having a quick look in the show notes. I'm going to leave some links in there so that you can have a look at some more of the details. And if you're quick, there is an early bonus. It starts in August, but there are two bonus entry-level months in June and July. What I mean by that is June and July, we will be going through some more of the basic stuff to get you up to speed for when the program starts in August. So details will be in the show notes. Now, let's talk about EV points. Have you been thinking about whether you should invest in them? Perhaps, as I say, you already have, or you might have even bought them. At first, it's really difficult to work out whether it's even worthwhile and what support is available. Now, we all know the environmental benefits of putting in EV chargers. But for small business owners, let's be frank, it is more than that. We all need to survive and thrive in order to be able to do good in the world. So we need to know the numbers. Does this work? Now, there are intangible benefits to this, of course, which I'll go into later. But I began by first asking myself whether there was actually going to be any demand for this. So, of course, you need to talk to customers, and some of them may have already been telling you that they need some electrical charge points. Think about what their potential use is, though. So, for instance, are they going to be charging their vehicle mainly at home or their residence? So when they come into the workplace, this might just be for topping up. They may not even use it because actually their habit is to charge it at home, come to work, sit in the car park all day and drive home again. That might be their daily routine. But it could be that they come into work,
They stay there for a couple of hours, then they go off and see some customers, then they come back again, they do some lunch or whatever it is they're doing, or see some other people in the office, have some meetings, then they go out again. And actually, they'll need top-up. So that's a different type of customer, isn't it? And then, of course, there's other customers who can charge their vehicle at home because they're in a flat or an apartment. It's difficult to get the cabling infrastructure in. So they may have to go quite far to a public charge point. And those customers are kind of a third bracket, aren't they, really, where they will benefit from having a charge point at work. And that might become their new, I guess, habit or habitual place to actually charge the car. So you have to think a little bit about what type of customers you've got, what your setup is. And it may be, of course, that your building can't actually install any of these because you've got no parking. Well, then, fair enough. But for most of us, there is some kind of parking around our properties. And you just have to think about prioritizing what it is you want to do. But most importantly, work out what your customer demand is going to be before you totally commit to this. And simultaneously, you need to investigate the grants, of course, which I'm going to come up to in a minute, but I'll tell you about ours, as I say, but it's constantly changing. And even some of the grants that we benefit from are no longer available. Of course not. That's what happens. It's a moving feast all the time, isn't it? You also need to kiss some frogs. You're going to have to get some installer quotes. Remember, they need to be approved installers for grant schemes. But they're tricky right now. Trying to get installers out to give you quotations, or at least come out and do a viewing and then give you a quotation, can be quite tricky. Some of them come out and never speak to you again. Now, maybe that's just us, of course. But eventually you should get some options that you can start judging or learning about what you're going to do. So think about where you're going to put these points logistically. What's going to happen about customers coming in and out? Is it going to be in a location that's close to your electric point or your electric board? Because every meter away from that's going to cost you money. Is it going to be in the right place for the customer? Are you really giving them priority spaces when that might not be the best thing to do? If you've got cameras on your site, is it near the CCTV? It's quite a few things to think about, logistics of this. But in moving on to the finance, there's three main different financial models that I feel there are. Number one, pay for the full install and do what you want, right? That's the first option. And you might be able to get a loan for that. You might even be able to get an interest-free loan. And I appreciate some of our listeners are not based in the UK, and certainly most of them are not based in Scotland where I am. So I'm going to cover England and Scotland, but in the rest of the world, you will have other financial models out there. You're just going to have to go and investigate them. It's a bit of a pain, to be fair, but Uncle Google should be able to help you. So the second option is take some grant funding, which usually has caveats. There are some. And do a mix of your own finance and grant funding to put in the infrastructure and the charge points, because they are treated separately. The third one is someone else does the installation, they pay for it, they get the grants, and they deal with the income. And really, it's not got much to do with you. And that's the third one. And there is a material benefit, I believe, for having these on your site, or at least there are some benefits. So that is a possible solution, the third one. But what we chose was the second one. We went for some grant funding and putting some of our own money in to put in the equipment. And it means that we can control the equipment and the charging rate. And I'll go into that in a minute about how that works. But effectively, there are some caveats around it. So for instance, if we sold a building, there's a clawback. And again, it will depend on where you're getting your grant funding from. But we applied for two grants, okay? So the first one in the UK, UK-wide, not just Scotland, workplace charging scheme. A lot of you have heard of it. It's £350 per charging point that you can get a grant for. Now, as usual, when it comes around to grants, nothing's on one page on the internet. You're going to have to ferret around and find another page, which is about, well, in Scotland, it's the Energy Savings Trust, where they give up to 50% of the install cost. And the English government give £500 for infrastructure grant and £350 for the actual charging point itself. And they've separated it out. So effectively, what the English government are saying, we will contribute per point £500 for the infrastructure and £350 if you go ahead and put in the charge point, which is interesting. It's a bit forward thinking. What they're saying is if you want to install 10 charge points in time, but right now you only want to put in 2 actual charge points, then they will pay £500 per point for the infrastructure. So if there's 10, that would be £5,000. But they will only contribute on the charge points if you only install 2 actual physical charge points on that infrastructure. So then you'd get another £700. Right, getting a bit too in-depth. And by the time you listen to this, it'll probably have changed again, of course. But the two websites are energysavingtrust.org.uk down in England, www.gov.uk/government/publications/EV-infrastructure-grant. I'll put it in the show notes. You'll be able to find it there. Like I say, it may change by the time you actually listen to this, but there is funding out there. You've just got to spend a bit of time on investigating it. So the second thing we did after applying for these grants, through the different ways that you do that, we had the kit installed and we paid for it. Then the second, the more significant part of the grant funding, we then claimed back. So you have to pay for the install first, including VAT. So you just have to think about that in terms of cash flow. Then the next thing we did was we started to charge out to our customers, but that's through a third party or intermediary who provides an app. So they actually have a network of loads and loads of charge points throughout the UK, and ours have been added to that network, albeit just for our customers to see. But when they get to the charge point itself, there's a QR code. They can scan that, takes them onto the app. They may need to download the app. But once they've got that app, they then pay directly for the actual electric charge to the intermediary. So it means that we're not having to deal with those different customers and charging and all that sort of stuff. Now, what they do is they keep, they being the intermediary, they keep 7.5%, that's our deal, you might get better, and pay us once a quarter. So they pay us the difference, effectively. And what we can do is we can set up what amount we want to be charged per kilowatt hour. So let's go into the numbers of the install. Roughly, it cost about £11,000, yep, £11,000, excluding VAT, for 4 charge points. So that's quite a lot. Now, our WCS, or Workplace Charge Scheme grant, for £350 came to £1,400. So 4 times 350, £1,400. And the Energy Savings Grant brought it up to an overall figure of around about £6,000 in terms of grant, which meant we had to spend about £5,000 plus all of that. Now, we're VAT registered, so we are able to claim that back. And interestingly, from a numbers point of view, the actual installation, the infrastructure, you can deduct that under capital allowances. So you would be able to deduct 100% of that in your annual accounts. Obviously, you have to be making a profit. But that, again, will save you a bit more money. It'll save you on corporation tax. Now, the ROI, return on investment for these units, as I say, as a small business, you've got to look into this. It could be around 20 to 30%. But electric prices are rising really rapidly, which we all know about. And there will be maintenance for these charge points. So that could almost wipe out any income because we're still talking relatively low numbers. However, this is not necessarily about making loads of money. This is about improving your overall offer and your environmental credentials and your customer satisfaction. So the less tangible value, I think, for providers can be leveraged through your marketing and your sales potential. And in time, as things change, it could help you improve your retention or loss of sales. As Adam Blansky said when we were on Flexa stage a couple of weeks ago, he's going to come on the podcast soon, which is great. But as he said, more and more corporates are asking for this when they're doing viewings. Now, if your market is corporates, you'll already be ahead of the curve here, I'm sure. And you'll have these installed because your customers will be asking for them. And some of those corporates will be saying, do you have charge points? No. Okay, next. Because it's just one of the big tick boxes they need ticked. The question is for those that have more of a mixed customer base and not necessarily all the corporates, when is it that the smaller and smaller 1 and 2 and 3 person businesses are going to start asking for that? So it might be that it's not important right now, but in time it will become more important and more relevant to those smaller scale businesses or clients, and that might have a knock-on impact on your sales. You might not be selling as much because you just can't tick that box. And lastly, in terms of numbers, there's that long-term change to the use of EV, electric vehicles. And by being set up now, could be a very good move as we gradually get to that point where there are more and more people using electric vehicles. I do remember a conversation with Gavin Gallagher, who's been on the podcast before. He runs a successful business park over in Dublin, and he'd had quite a few installations put in, charge points, but they hadn't blanketed the car park. It wasn't full of charge points, because their logic was most of our customers are not going to be coming in here to charge. Their vehicle will be charged enough that they can get home again. So their rollout has been limited. And I took that on board, and that's exactly why we've only put in four. We chose a location where we felt there was the biggest concentration of electric vehicles with our customer base and the biggest concentration of our customers. Quite a lot of people around this area. So we put in these four charge points to see how it's going to go. So let's move on to some of the things that you have to think about. Some of the lessons we've learned, I guess, and some of the pieces of the jigsaw that you need to figure out before you fully commit to this. So as I said earlier on, who are your customers and do they need that full day charging? Do they need a fast charger? Or actually, do they just need something a bit slower? The thing about the super fast chargers is the infrastructure costs is significantly higher because the power consumption means that you need to invest in more kit and possibly even upgrade your supply. But if most of your customers are only going to need a top up or a trickle charge throughout the day, then hey, maybe something with lower capacity is actually totally adequate for what your customers are looking for. Remember, location of kit, really important. Where is your current electric supply? And where are your cameras? And are you going to be creating priority parking? Because the thing is, when somebody parks in this, as you know, they could be there all day. So it doesn't need to be right by the door, or does it need to be somewhere a bit less priority driven, really, because other customers are not going to have electric vehicles and they'll be potentially upset that you're making it so anybody who's got an electric vehicle can park right next to the door. Well, maybe you should put it in a more balanced place. However, that is down a little bit to that electric supply, because every meter you move away from your electric board, the more it's going to cost to actually service it. How many do you really need? Capacity versus actual points, as I said. Infrastructure, you could put the infrastructure in, but not necessarily put in the charge points. The voucher and grant application process, and how long can it take? Well, we were told 4 to 6 weeks on our Energy Trust grant, but when the application was submitted, we didn't hear anything. And then finally we chased it up when we thought, right, the 4 to 6 weeks is through, and because they said don't chase it, because we will get to it as and when we do. And they said, oh, yeah, it's been approved. Yeah. But of course, we hadn't received any emails. So that was a bit of a pain. And the whole installer quotations, non-quotations was quite painful. So you do have to recognise there'll be a bit of time here to make this thing go. And you'll have to check out whether you need to apply for your voucher or your grant first, which 9 times out of 10 you do have to. And just make sure you get those timings right. Don't forget there's that cash flow thing too. So think about if you are installing quite a number of points, you're going full hog, you're going to have to fund the money up front before you get any grants back. And VAT, you might have to fund the VAT, you may be able to claim it back. You won't get that back through the grants, of course, but you may have to claim that back through HMRC or whatever route that you do, and that will just add to your cash flow pressure. And if you're doing multiple sites at the same time, it could have a significant impact. Research those installers. To me, it feels a bit like we're back in the early days of the PV rollout, when the solar panels came out. It was a bit like the Wild West, and customer service wasn't particularly high on people's agenda. You phone up installers, they don't come out. They come out, they never quote. It's that kind of thing. And also, it gets installed kind of on their time frame rather than yours, I'm afraid. Now, that's my experience. Doesn't have to be yours. Interestingly, the funding for this, by the way, could be available for service accommodation properties for those of you that are in that market. There are some caveats around that. So again, if you look at those websites, you'll be able to see, but small accommodation providers may find that they can access this grant funding too. And if you're going to be doing that, think about the customer again. Are they going to be charging throughout the night rather than throughout the day? And is it going to be trickles? Is it going to be super fast? All those sorts of things. It depends on your site size as well, of course, but definitely worth investigating if you're in SA. The entity itself that is applying for these grants needs to be registered with Companies House, and if not, at least with HMRC for VAT. So that might be a stumbling block for some people. And the last thing I put on here about what you need to think about, you need to be patient to make this work, I'm afraid. So that's really my summary of what we've learned so far. We've had some use of our points have been in for about 2 weeks. We reckon our return investment, as I say, might be 20 to 30%, maybe £2,000 to £3,000 a year. But that is going to be based on loads of variables that could wipe that out in a second. The less tangible bit about whether we're going to get more sales and more stickiness for our customers, well, time will tell. But I think that is going to be of a real benefit as we move forward. So don't forget to jump into those show notes to pick up about the grant details and, of course, a link to our mastermind program. There will be limited spaces on that. So if you're half interested, why not at least take a look and see what it's all about. As ever, it's probably important I point out here, I'm not an expert, okay, on this podcast, but what I do want to do is try and be as accurate as I can and share with you our experiences. It's up to you to go out there and research, and EV is no different. So enjoy your week. Make sure you get out there and get into the commercial swim. Hi there. I hope you're enjoying the content delivered on the CPI podcast. Even though it's free to listen to, it actually takes quite a bit of time and financial commitment to deliver each and every episode. Did you know that by leaving a positive written review, you, yes, you, will have a direct impact on the visibility of the podcast? And that's really important, because by reaching a wider audience, it helps our team to continually improve the overall content that we deliver to you week after week. For some of you, leaving a review will be second nature, but for others, it might be your first one. Open your podcast app, pick the CPI podcast, and search for previous reviews. And on iTunes in particular, click to look at all of the reviews, and then you'll see an option to leave a written review. Go on, it'll only take 2 minutes, and it'll really make our day. And we genuinely read every single one of them.